Thank God we're all still alive. Amen?
Amen.
You know, we get to a certain point that any day above ground is a good day for me. Truthfully, it's very true. I got to look at it that way. It's true. So, but it's so exciting to be here. You know, I'll try to hold it together the best I can because it's such an honor to be here. So, give me a moment. Jeez. God is so precious, and he's full of surprises. He loves to surprise all of us. That's the Father, Heavenly Father I serve and love very much. And, I got to meet Rick and Terry last year, and we call them divine appointments because it's just, there's an instant connection. And basically how we love to connect is the fact that as the Apostle Paul writes in the Bible, I want to know nothing among you except Christ crucified. In other words, I want you to know the real life in your life. What is life all about? And of course, before life occurs, there has to be a death, burial, and resurrection. That's the Christian life. So it's fun to talk to people and hear that life, and that's what I bear witness with. So meeting Pastor Rick for the first time on the phone, there was that instant connection. That his words had life upon it because he had gone through the process. And I'm going to talk today a little bit about a process. But that's not the key. It's not about a process. It's about a person. His name is Jesus. And I say that with an understanding of where I come from and my background and really the gifts and graces God gave me or the way I see things. My friend Gary is here, and he's very creative. He'll see something, and he'll want to do it a different way and try to make it better and make something out of nothing. That's just Gary. But in a way, so he's a builder as well. It is. It's a gift. It really is. It's rare. But I'm a builder as well. In the natural, before God got a hold of my life, I was a builder. I loved to build things and do things, create things. But getting saved into the power of God and just, you know, God said, get up and go and read my word and start serving me. It was that instant for me. I never looked back since, back in 1974. I just have never looked back. But a builder in the kingdom of God, it's built differently than in the world of the natural at all. We're builders, but we have to be wise master builders. We have to be building with the sources of the resource God's given each one of us. And if you're here today in this chapel or this sanctuary, this church, and you have made a commitment to Christ and you've received him as a personal Savior, one-on-one, you carry the ingredients to build a kingdom of heaven right here on this earth. That's called purpose. It's called plan. It's what God loves to do. From the foundation of the earth, he wanted us to grow up and mature. So my life journey for all these years, many, many years, I've come through the hammer and chisel, as I say. I was a fitted stone eventually. It took about 40 years to fit me into his temple, the habitation, to carry his presence and walk among his people, really. But before that, I was tough. He hewn me out of the quarry. I mean, it was outside the walls. He took me through the things. But through that comes that purified gold. All that draft, all that stuff comes to the surface out of my life. God washes it away, and what comes up is the nature and the character of Christ. So I know you're here as a Christian if you love Jesus, and there's something about carrying the name of Jesus, but you have probably been affected by Christians, little Christs, call them what you like, believers, who possibly carried the name of Jesus in their lives, but they do not display the nature of Jesus. Anybody ring a bell with that? And then all of a sudden, that word comes to the surface, hypocrites, hypocritical. You're saying this, you're talking, but you ain't walking the walk. And how many know you got to walk the talk? You really do. So the nature of Christ, it's the origin of where I began with Christ. That's where God's foundation put me on a foundation of that. He said, yes, son, you've got my name now. You have the authority. You all have heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven. My will be done through you. Will you do that? Yes, Lord, I'll obey. But understand, knowing Jesus, again, not the process, how we get saved, how we get delivered, how God moves. It's miraculous times. But it's not the process, it's the person. It's about a person. His name is Jesus. In the knowledge of him, So I challenge you this morning as we go through the Word of God and look at some scriptures. Do you know Him one-on-one? Not what men tell you He is, but what the Spirit of the living God tells you. Does that make sense? There's a difference. So we're going to walk through that this morning. So again, we're building the kingdom of God together. We're here as the kingdom of God. I thank God for the different faces. I don't know the city, but I know the region as far as what God's putting together and doing and really ushering in a legislation for His saints to really bring a kingdom here in this area. And there's probably different churches even here today just by friendships knowing my name. So just, you know, look to your left and right and say, yeah, we're kingdom. You know, we're church folks, but we're kingdom. It's called family. Nothing else. Brother and sister, yes. But it's family. It's important we become disciples of Christ, learn from the Word of God today as we just go through God's Word and be taught by the Holy Spirit, which puts the power in the Word. But we must walk as a family. And when we're family, man, we really can't get broken apart. I wouldn't hurt you, Gary. And I know you wouldn't hurt me. I kind of all sells together when I say that. He was the guy that prayed me into the kingdom, basically. I think he knows it. I've never told you that, but you know that. He got saved first. We were in the world as buddies. He went to the army, got saved, came back, and then started hanging out. And God just got a hold of me. Nobody preaching, nobody talking. Having coffee with my dad, Zimmerman's Bakery, downtown Rochester, back in 74, with my dad, with the farmers. With the business guys, having coffee at 10 o'clock. God just, out of the blue. I remember my mountain, I was living in Colorado. I had the parka on. I had the mountain boots on. Man, I was just mountain man. That was me. And God just, there was a voice, and all a voice came on my shoulder and said, get up and go. Get up and go. Clear as a bell. I looked around and saw no one. God's audible voice spoke to me out of nowhere. Get up and go. I had no idea what that was. And I told my dad, I got to go. He goes, where are you going? I need to get up and go. All I could do was go to the church, Trinity United Methodist Church. That's where they went to church, all the families, with a lot of people that maybe are here, knew the Bickles, Ann and Vernie. I went in the middle of the sanctuary, hit my knees, just said, okay, God, what do you want? What do you need? You know, he said, read my word. Just read it and do it. Read it and do it. Read it and do it. Pretty simple. Don't think about it. Read it. Go do it. Read it and do it. So don't be, and I learned later, my brother James from the book he wrote, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. Read and do it. So I got through the book of Matthew, again, new disciple in Christ. I didn't get very far along. In Matthew, it says, don't put asunder what I have put together. My wife and I, Luann, were separated. And was it Kim or who said, you didn't know we were separated? We got married heathens in 72 and 74 in that area. 73 late fall is when God started moving, but got a hold of my life. Just said, you know, I want you to follow me. Nobody preaching, nobody telling. I wasn't really seeking God. Gary knew me. I knew him as a friend. I wasn't in his meeting. You know, he wasn't preaching to me. But I guarantee it, as I matured and learned it, the power of prayer. Because the Cybridge prayed me into the kingdom. Because he's the first Christian I met. So the anchor worked. But through that whole process, yeah. I read Matthew, and don't put asunder, and guess what that was? My marriage. We were separated. So all I could do was obey God's word. Read it and do it. I knew Gary as a friend. I said, Gary, my wife's in Bloomington. Her parents took her back to school where she belonged, apparently, to them, what they told me. So I said, I need to go get her. She's my wife. My old little Volkswagen, rusted Volkswagen. Who talked to me about Volkswagens today? Marty Smith. It wouldn't have made it to Bloomington. You know, it's like the doors open, you're pushing it like this. In the day. That's when gas was $19.90 a gallon or something like that. But in the case, we jumped in his step van, a blue one. And at the his old step truck, just give you a very quick picture, neat old step van. He lived in it for a while on the Buffalo range and out there in Oklahoma for a while. We'd go with my van and we just park vans and just, you know, make do. But his tank, he converted it to LP gas. 80-gallon LP gas, like you see it out in the yard, on his back bumper. That was his step truck. Now, it did go down the road like this. But guess what the tank said? Honk if you love Jesus. That's this guy. We had people honking to us all the time, going through town, just sticking their head out the door, like a UPS man. You know, it was a blast. Went down to Bloomington, stood outside my wife's classroom, said, "Hi, Luann." And we hadn't seen each other for a while. Said, "God said you're my wife, according to his word." So she goes, "Whoa, really?" So she was willing, and as people have heard our testimony, they would tell me, "So you kidnapped your wife?" I said, "Well, I guess I did." Brought her back to Pueblo, lived in a cottage out at the lake, drove a concrete truck for a while. And then she was home for a couple days, came home from work one day, and on table of the kitchen table was a note from Cecil and Francis, her parents. "We're taking our daughter back where she belongs." I heard the phrase before, so I knew exactly what that meant. Bloomington again? So what do you think I did? Gary. He was my transport. I didn't have one. He's my Uber back then. We went and got her again. Brought her home. Again, thank God, was, you know, softening her heart, saying, "You're my husband. I love you. And I guess this is what it's all about." Same pattern. About a week later, a note on the table. "We're taking our daughter back where she belongs." Empty house again. Gary. Three times. Bloomington. Picked her up, brought her back. Third time. She said, "I think you're the real deal." Read it and obey it. Read my word and obey it. Just do it, son. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit, about how, what is really life about. We're going to talk the fullness of life. I want to talk to you about a heart condition. And usually when we say heart condition, you think naturally, well, you've got a heart condition, something's wrong, or you can't, you know, what's going on? With a heart condition, you can't enjoy the fullness of life. You really can't. You're restrained. In a spiritual sense, it's the same way. We have heart conditions, so we cannot enjoy the fullness of God's mercy and love to us to really carry out, enjoy life every moment. A couple of people asked me, said, "Well, are you ready here? Or, you know, what are you doing here?" And I'm listening. And then I think it was Kim, which one told me? She told me. She looked at me and says, "You know why you're here, don't you?" There's a difference from an invitation or an assignment by God or intention by God. I'm here because of intention, purpose, and plan. But again, the process is not what I'm here for. I'm here about a person. His name is Jesus. And it comes right here from this word. It's the living testament of my God. As a New Testament believer, I thank God the difference from the Old Testament. I knew the law. I was told God worked for me and around me. But as a New Testament Christian, this word tells me, Christ, you live in me. Amen. The hope of glory lives within me. In the difference of a New Testament saint and an Old Testament saint, old is the law, the new is grace. But God works through each and one of us. What an awesome, humble thing to think about. God, you choose this earthen vessel to put your glory in and to use us that way. That was his purpose from the get-go. Book of Genesis, go through the whole book of Revelation. He wanted a family. He wanted relationship. So that's the shift in this hour. It's called the Apostolic Reformation. I love to minister that and talk about it because it is a shift. It's the old mindset going to a new mindset. Reading it with the Spirit of a living God telling us, wow. We carry Christ. We have the power and authority and dominion within our lives. And many of you here today, I'm sure, have been taught and told. Again, the difference is, what do men say I am? Versus Jesus speaking, saying, what do you say I am? Amen. So from my beginning, it was like, what do you say, Alan, I am? Well, you're the Christ. You're Jesus. Read my word, son. Read it. Do it. Read it. Do it. That's how it starts. But you never change that. So God uses us, works through our lives. He really does. So the heart condition I want to look at here just for a few moments. You know, I'm not going to keep you very long. And I know probably you're wondering, could this thing go to 2 o'clock, man? What's the deal? So cast that away, would you? Any kind of thoughts? Don't worry about it. But just listen to what God's word's going to say today, because it speaks loudly. It's alive and sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting down to the intents of our hearts, past the spirit and the soul of our hearts, down to the intent of my life, to my heart and your heart. We sang a song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." It broke me. I can't contain it. So, you know, whatever. It's like, well, man, he lost it. No, I don't have issues. I know the person. His name is Jesus. And when the power of God and this presence of God, you know, flows through you, call it what you want, his anointing. Isaiah 61 says, when Jesus spoke and stood up and said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he has anointed me to go free the captives." There's a because in there. Why? He knew he was called of his Father. He knew he was anointed. There was a purpose in his life. So the Spirit of God came upon him and the two worked together. So there's a difference that way, knowing who you are, what you carry. And I'll say it this way. You must know who you are and whose you are. If you walk on that foundation, your life will be intentional. Trust me. There will be a purpose every step of the way. You'll be intentional. And then you can stand before God and know, "I obeyed you, Lord. Yeah, it looks silly, looks stupid, and why would I want to go to Pueblo, Colorado?" I'm just kidding. I'm serious. There's nothing down there. But anyway, so let's just look at our heart condition real quick. Our life in Christ, we're talking of Christians here, the body of Christ, begins with a very definite knowing. What do you know today? Do you know down in your knower? And no one could convince you otherwise that I know God this morning. I know Jesus. He's my Savior. I'm saved from sin. I'm free. I have liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm not bound up in religion. There's no walls on my life. I don't need to follow a track. Certainly, I can walk the way I want to, hear him and obey it. Read it, do it. Read it and do it. There's a knowing about what we really look to. So it's important we understand just not knowing the Lord. I'm going to try something here. Oh my gosh, look at this. It works. Not just knowing, understanding some important doctrine. We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about what men tells you. What do men say I am? But the Spirit of God speaking to your hearts today saying, what do you say I am? Who do you see me today? Because God wants that personal relationship with us. So it's not intellectual at all. Again, I thank you for the tech and the high tech. It helps. But I pray you all have Bibles as well. You can read it. But it's the opening of the eyes of the heart to see who we are, whose we are, what we have been given by Christ, so that knowledge comes into our hearts, a knowing. But it comes only one way. It doesn't come by intellect. It doesn't come by what men say that I should know about God or about Jesus. It comes only one way, a knower. I know it now. I know who he is because it came by divine revelation, only one way. The Holy Spirit on his word started speaking to me. Read it and do it, Ellen. Just read it and do it. Life came through that in my life over the 40-some years. That's how it happened. So it's not knowledge. It's not knowing about information. It's just about revelation by God. It comes by the Lord himself, the Spirit of a living God. Matthew 16, verses 16 to 18. I didn't post it because it's a long verse. You may know it well. It's where Peter was asked by the Lord, "Who do you say that I am?" In the context, he first says, "Well, who do men say I am?" And some of the disciples said, "Well, you're probably Moses or this prophet or whatever." But he said it again to Peter. Said, "Okay, now, Peter, who do you say I am?" Peter just said, "You're the Christ. You have the words of life." And then what did Jesus tell him? In the context, it says, "Flesh and blood did not tell you this. No man told you this. No flesh and blood. But my Father in heaven revealed it to you." That's the walk of a Christian today. That's the real saint of God. And that's where we want to live and build the kingdom today together, to walk by that Spirit. So Ephesians 1:17. Let me try this again. Okay. It's a verse that says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory and his inheritance in the saints." So for you to understand the Word of God and look at the Bible, because you've been told you need to read a Bible. The only way you understand the Bible or the words that's on this print page is only one way. That God has to give you a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Then it becomes true life to you. Then you start realizing, whoa, something's happening here. I'm changing. I'm being transformed. My thinking's changing. All of a sudden, what? The spirit of wisdom comes to your life. Understand it. So when you read the Word of God, the Spirit of God enlightens what? Your heart. The eyes of your, what does it say? Being enlightened. How many know in the natural, you don't live without a heart. Your heart is what? The main mechanism? Pumps everything through. If you look at the word study, that word heart, it is what? The center of our very being, mind, will, and emotions. Comes right from the heart. It's the center of our lives. So right from the get-go, God's saying, you'll understand this word, the printed page of my word, only by this, the wisdom of revelation and knowledge in the eyes of your understanding being opened. That you'll know what the hope of your calling is. So the hope of your calling. I thank God for purpose and for plans. Each one here today has a purpose. Each one has a planned out highway to run on that God did way before even born. Isaiah 6 talks about the prophet. When he was in the presence of God, he was changed by the presence of God. He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I need help." But then what happened? God moved. He saw it, and he said, "Now, you're in a place I can use you. Now go be a prophet to the nations." In his mother's womb, that's what God called him to be. So will you work with me today? Give God some credit that he established your beginnings and your end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He sees the whole story. He has my history, his story for me in this life. So you bet. I walk with God because I want his wisdom and his understanding. What is my purpose? What is my plan? I want to stay in it. I want to stay in the river of God. I want to be on the right highway, God. And once you do that, you talk about a fullness of life coming to an individual's heart.
That's right.
Then you know. And it's neat how God puts you out sometimes in places and circumstances where you're saying, "What am I doing here?" But once you hook up and connect with what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation from the Word of God, you start realizing, giving him glory, saying, "This is your plan all along then, God." And you settle in and rest with the power of God in your life, and you start fulfilling your purpose and call. So each of us have a calling. The riches of the glory of the inheritance of saints. Thank God, I have an inheritance. I'm his inheritance, but he has given me heaven as my inheritance. Am I enjoying it? Am I living in it? Yeah, some days not. But it's what? What do I know? What shakes me? We sang a song this morning. The words of my praising and my worship. That's what the enemy doesn't want to hear from you. That my God will take care of things. And all you've done is made that shift here between the ears. That's where your warfare is. Right between here. Pulling down strongholds, arguments, things that would raise itself up against the knowledge of God. Because God's word tells you this is who you are. Whose you are, Alan. Stay right here on this rock. But this thing between my ears, I'm over here all the time at times. Because I'm not thinking the way he thinks. I'm not walking in the spirit of revelation. So, does that make sense to you? So the living word is the written word of God to become a living word. It really is. It's from God himself. That's the Bible. So if you've been beat over the head like you need to read a Bible. Yeah, you do. There's one reason alone. The Spirit of God by revelation puts the Spirit of the heaven upon His words from this Bible. It makes it life to you. Amen. The written Word of God, to become living Word from God to you, He had to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to do it, in the knowledge of Him. So your Bible, the Word of God, is your roadmap to a life. Alan, read it and do it. Oh, there's got to be more God. No, there isn't. Read it and do it. The more I read this, the more the Spirit of God works through our lives on wisdom and understanding, the more I enjoy life to the fullest. Enjoying every step of the way. And it's like, oh, come on now. You can't be a party Christian. You can't be a happy camper, can you? This life is tough. Come on now. You know, that's what really pray means. Pray until something happens. Or just, you're always in warfare and just, we got to make it happen. Come on, let's do this. Brother, sister, let's walk and let's tear this down. Well, yeah, I was there early on. But when God started maturing me, He said, son, I'm raising you up. I've been waiting on this. All creation groans for you to grow up and understand what you've been given, the hope of your calling, son. I'll say it this way. How many in this area today, this room, are chasing things that God has already given you or given them? Oh, God, I need more of you. God, I need your wisdom. I need your direction. Come on. I need money, finances. You're there all the time. You're asking God for something He has already given you. So where's your location? Is it here in the presence of God? Sock solid, anchor down, roots going down, the fruit coming up, or are you out in this other field? Because there ain't no fruit over here. There's no life over here. So we're talking about the fullness of life today. There's no life over here. John 10:10 says, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So yeah, there's two sides of the fence. There's two sides of a street, night and day, black and white. But here is light. Life comes through our lives. Over there, ain't God. So we're talking about the Bible being a roadmap. Matthew 4:4, but He answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from what? The mouth of God. So, I challenge you this morning. Today's Sunday. Some say it's the first day of the week. Okay? How many in your plan and purpose this week have time set aside to read the Bible? I don't want to see hands. I don't want to blame anybody. But understand, if I believe this word becomes life to me by the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, you bet we better read it. Yeah. If you want to go down the road that God has for you, the highway, stay on the right highway. That's what this is all about. It's a living word. The written word becomes life to us when the Holy Spirit puts His Spirit upon it and grants you the wisdom and understanding to understand it. And how many of us said at times we were growing in Christ saying, man, I read this, I don't understand nothing about it. All been there. We've all been there. But God says, now have a hearing ear. Watch what I'm going to do. A little more wisdom, a little more understanding. We start understanding, oh man, this is what life's about. I thought I had a plan, a purpose. I'm doing my thing. God says, well, that's good, son, but it ain't mine. I called you to do something else. So how God has fashioned my life over the years and done certain things in my life. No, I did not accept the call of God. No, I didn't want to do all God asked me to do. Number one, I said I couldn't do it. I can't go around the world, God. I don't have the money. I don't have the talent. I don't have the experience. And then I don't know how many years later, I meet a mission junkie. That's Pastor Rick. He's been all over the world. But through those days, you think, I can't do this. So you come to a place of inadequacy saying, God, man, I can't do this. It's just like Moses went through. God, I know you called me to go free all the, you know, the Israelites, but I can't do that. So what was Moses doing? His inadequacies was put up above God's ability. So where was he at? He's over here in this field. trying to put roots down, trying to make life work. Come on, build, doer. Got to do works, got to keep going. How do we build ministries? How do you build churches? How do you build lives? How do you build your daughter, your sons, your families? The only way you build it is not the process in the way that you did it, because it all come different ways. There's only one way, a person, Jesus. That's it. I want to make sure you hear that clearly today. Clarity. It's in a person. His name is Jesus. That's it. Nothing else. You don't have to go to church, but praise God, you'll probably want to. If you know Jesus, you want to gather together. Why do I want to even be here? I get to know more about my Jesus because I get to hang around with this guy or you. That's how I grow. I only have a part. I don't have the whole thing. Come on. That's how I get to grow. The more I hang around with the Christians, man, the better I get. My anchor goes down even farther. So we're talking about this. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God, from John, John 1:4. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning was God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was what? Life. Talking about living life to the fullest today. Why wouldn't you want to hang out with Jesus? He made the whole thing. For Him, through Him. He was in the beginning when the Word, the world was formed. Why do I say that? This Word tells me that, John. But guess what? Spirit of wisdom, understanding. What happens? This thing comes alive in my life. And I go, Jesus, man, what have I been doing? Come on now. So what should we be doing as Christians? We should be encouraging each other. How much time did you spend with Jesus this week? How much time did you read His Word? Let's break bread together here, brother. Let's talk about God's Word. It becomes life, and that's really the issue today. The Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. John 6:63. So let it just pierce your heart today. John 6:63. His words are spirit in their life. They were going through the same thing. I don't understand what you're saying, Jesus. I think you're saying something about parables. I'm not sure what you were saying. But yeah, we'll still hang around with you. Think about it. But Jesus was telling him, understand the words I'm giving you. They're just not words on a page. They're just not words. They're spirit and they're life. So the Spirit of God gives you that spirit of revelation. It comes by revelation, how you live your life today. When you leave this place today and in your work week, revelation is ready to pour through your life. The wisdom of wisdom and understanding, that spirit, to make this come alive in your life. So I challenge you. Usually coming to church means I come and do my thing. It's the right thing to do. I get blessed on Sunday morning. I've done my duty. Go through your work week. Mayor Ted could tell you about that. Sometimes Mondays are not very good to look to with all the stuff running down, you know, the list to do. Anybody wants this and that and this and that? And your constituents going, oh no, you need this, that. And you're going, man, what kind of counsel am I going to get? I got all sides of the street here. It's only one way that man will fulfill the call in his life. Only one way. It's not in the process. Getting the right counsel around you and doing the right thing. Taking your to-do list, the four things you must do to be better at what you do, Ted. Comes one way. It's a person. Amen. Jesus. Walking, talking with the Almighty God, because God, in the beginning, He was there. He was the light I needed on my path. So when it gets dark and heavy, He's the light in your life, what you got to walk with. Now you're going, man, geez, you know, when I came here, I thought you'd give a little more deeper stuff. You know, I thought I was waiting for just heavy duty, you know, the meat of the Word, you know, from your experience. Come on now. Keep it simple. I won't finish that sentence. I'm from Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. I know what that means. It's very true. The gospel is simple, carries the power of God. Don't complicate it, saints. Don't let it complicate your life by what men will tell you about the gospel. Come on now. But who do you, Alan, say I am? Only get way I get to know who he is spend time with the Master. Why wouldn't I? It was all made through him, for him, by him. What? Come on now. When's the last time you told your brother and sister, encouraged them, saying, you know that Jesus made this all right. It's all for him. And it's all about him. And you go, yeah, but man, I'm going through this. I don't know what to do. What to do about this and that and this crisis and whatever. You're going, but I guess you don't know. It's all about one person, right? Jesus. Did you bring him back or her to the cross, to the name of Jesus? Or did you bring him a to-do list? I love that. See, I'm pretty radical. Rick's getting to know me. My family stories, he goes, you're kidding. You were that way? Yeah, I turned things upside down. I was one of the kids. Dad said, hey, don't touch that. Don't do that. Oh, he could count on. I'd do just the opposite. He was prepared for it. And I finally trained him so he wouldn't say, don't do that. You can do this, Alan. Okay, I won't do that. I was radical. I was tough. I was that way. But see, when Jesus comes along in your life, it's like, man, it's the same way. I'm the same personality I had. God made it me that way. I can't change it. We were talking about that this morning. Some people just can't handle that kind of a, ooh. Oh, you need to be more graceful there, Alan, you know. And you need to be, this is the good word. This is the good word. This is what they tell me. Alan, you need to be more pastoral. Come on. It's not you. Other words, you're not doing it the way it should be done. Come on. Well, I'd like to believe I'm doing it the way I'm hearing me from him to do it. And sometimes it is radical. Sometimes it turns apple carts upside down. But guess what? I don't like going down that track of religion. There's different churches here today, different ministries represented. But it's not about that track, different tracks at all, religious, this and that. There is only one temple. There's only one church house. And I'm going to charge you with this. Guess what you are? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul wrote to the early Corinthians, what are you doing saying you're Apollos? You're this person, that person. What's the deal here? Don't you understand we all water and do this thing together? It's God who gives the increase? Yes. Why are you trying to make a difference out of this? Because there's one thing, the revelation. Oh, this is about a person, not a process. You don't worship the way I worship. Well, I love you, brother, but I can't hang around with you. Well, you don't understand something. I'm in the family. Come on. Come on. Brother, sister, you're my family. But you don't look like me. You don't sound like me. You're not very pastoral. Come on. The reality in the spiritual realm, I'm your brother and sister. So here today, I stand before you. Guess what? I'm your brother. You're my family. And someone will try to convince me otherwise. They'll say, no, it ain't. That's wrong. Got garbage in, garbage out. Sorry. And then I walk in God's liberty and wisdom and understanding and walk as the kingdom citizen. And I inherit the inheritance of life. I get started getting the fullness of life, starting enjoying the journey, meeting all kinds of people all around the world where God has sent me. It has just been a maze of adventure. I'll use that word. It is. Well, yeah, that's you, and you got a chance to go do this, whatever. But how about where God has put you, where he knows you are today? Do you think he wrote the book for you, history, his story for you, sitting in that cubicle Monday morning? Do you think you know he's there with you? Jehovah Shammah, he's ever present with you. You carry the glory of God. You have a purpose and a plan. So the adventure only starts when you start knowing in your knower. It's about a person. Come on. And even your boss can change overnight. Wow. I'm serious. Because what? They start seeing something in you, like maybe its name is Jesus. That's a lot of like Jesus would do. Before you know it, they come back to your desk and they say, man, I'm sorry for losing it over here. You go, You're forgiven. Don't worry about it. Let's keep going. See what I'm saying? They saw Jesus in you. It's the life. It's the Word of God became life because the Spirit came upon it. So in the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. He became life. The flesh was made. In the beginning was the Word. He was what? There it is. My God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the gospel story. So this morning, it's important we understand that God had a plan from the beginning. It's alive and well on planet Earth. The living Word, it's definitely living. It's there in our lives. It's revelation by knowing who He is. Now, oh my gosh, did I turn it off? Your tech guy might yell at me. This he's got in the back somewhere. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was God. We just read that and looked at that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So John 1, same chapter, verses 10 to 14. Now, He was in the world. The world was made through Him. The world did not know Him. He came to His own did not receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in the name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He beheld His glory and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God did His best to show to me it's all about my Son and the knowledge of Him, Ellen. Read it and do it. And I came to find out from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. Yes. Types and shadows, Old Testament, what was coming. New Testament fulfilled. John the Baptist, he carried a message, yes. One's coming after me. Jesus hadn't come yet. But when He came, where'd the message go? He put it in me. He put it in you. Jesus has shown up. How do I know that? In my knower. I know something. You may try to convince me otherwise, but I know in my knower. That God got a hold of my life, saved me, walked me through a process, built my life, matured me, called me a son and raised me up. I started understanding by the revelation of wisdom and understanding. I knew who I was and whose I was. That I'm God. So when I take a step, wherever I go, guess who is there? Not about a process, about a person. You carry the glory of God, the hope of glory within each of us. That's New Testament Christianity, saints. Make a shift to that, the fact that God will work through you. Now, I'm saying this for one reason. It's important we understand as we get to a place in our lives and mature that we must understand we're moving from our intellect understanding. Let's just use, for example, forgiveness. How many here today have tried to forgive someone over the years? I tried. I did really good for a while, but it just came back up again. I just can't seem to get through this. Okay. New Testament life, living life to the fullest is understanding. My God has given me His very presence and Spirit in my life. So I am not the one forgiving Ralph or Betty. I'm not doing that. It's Jesus through me forgiving the person. I let Him have His way in this temple. Okay, God, You do it. Because I've been trying. I can't do it. I let go of it. Let You do it. And all of a sudden, what happens? Woo! Man, a weight comes off my shoulders. I relax and set in. Because what? Jesus is going to work. He flows through you. New Testament Christianity is where God works through you. Yes, He worked for you and around you. The cloud and the pillar of fire. It was all there, thank God. But in this New Testament, walking to the fullness of life and understanding, a heart condition, is your heart seeing it with the eyes of faith, understanding, my God, He didn't shortchange me. He didn't give me a little dabble, do you? He gave me heaven. He gave me one just like Jesus. I didn't get anything different than Jesus. Come on. If I have, I'm not in the family. I'm not. But when I understand who, this is who I am. I'm His son. Wow. I'm a child of God. And this word tells me with the light that comes upon it, you're seated with Christ. You're seated in Christ. You're seated with me, Alan, in high places. What? But my God, I'm in a low place right now. High places. Knowing who you are, but knowing whose you are. You know, God is all behind you, 100%, fully loaded. Come on. The chambers are full of bullets. The gun is loaded. You don't need to put more bullets in a chamber. Oh, God, I need more bullets to fight this one. Wow. Come on now. This bear's not coming down. I need more bullets. Don't you think God's smart enough to give you enough bullets from the get-go? You think David said, man, I'd let go fight that bear and kick it. But, you know, I just don't have the right stuff, God. You kidding? He knew. Isn't there not a cause? And Goliath looks at him and goes, you're going to defeat me? And all the whole army is hiding behind rocks. Think about that. Do you know what you carry in your knower today? Do you know that change has been made? You've made the shift from being in the law and works, going to the grace and the power of God, knowing you carry the authority and power of God. Because this word tells you, by the living testament of God, who you are and whose you are. Now, let's talk about intention real quick. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. If Jesus in me, his purpose, his plan was to be Jesus through me, that's my purpose. Let him be Jesus. Let him be the king of this kingdom instead of my plan, my purpose. If we walk on that foundation and understand that, we must understand that this word has been sown into our lives. And by the Holy Spirit's power, that's the seed he put in there, and he waters it and grows it. Come on. So your growth, your maturity is all based upon the knowledge of the truth. How much truth do you know today? Alan, read it and do it. I do what I do today because I read it and I did it. Didn't question it. But what about this God? I don't think so. Come on. You read it and you do it in the power of heaven. It's a living testament. It's alive and well. It's fully loaded for you. That's your purpose. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh in my flesh, a heart of flesh. He gave me a new spirit, a new heart. Took out that stony heart, glory to God, and gave me a flesh heart, one that's pliable, teachable, humble. Why? So I can decrease, so he can increase. Now, God has truly sown the Word of God in lives. Luke chapter 8 talks about going sowing. We're not spending a lot of time here. But it talks about seed being sown on the soil, different kind of soil. The soil of my life is the heart of my life. The condition of my heart, is it cultivated? Is this field ready for the seed of God's Word to really grow and grow up? Can I have 7-foot tall corn in the end of July in Indiana? Come on. Or am I causing a drought? Am I not watering it? I'm not fertilizing. I'm not doing something. Because why? My condition of my heart is not prepared. The soil is not prepared for the crop that's coming. Get the picture? Talks about seed. Sower went out to seed. Sow a seed. He sowed it. Some fell by the wayside. What's a wayside? It's definitely not the main road. And it was trampled down. The birds and the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered because what? There was no roots. It couldn't go down. God couldn't talk to me through his word because my heart was hardened. Why? Because of traditions of men. I was taught different ways. I came through every camp in the world because I was still searching for God. God, that ain't you. That can't be you. Because this word tells me something different. And I felt not liberty and freedom in the Spirit of God. I felt a restriction. Oh, son, you got to do it this way. Got to be more pastoral. But guess what? Gifting and grace, personality. I'm a builder. I'm building a wall all the time. Yes. People say, what's about you? You're always building something. Well, guess what? When you're building something, you can't stop and pause and go get coffee and relax and say, well, yeah, it'll get finished someday. No, you keep building because the material's still coming. You got to build that building. Build the wall. So what do we? What's my style? Pastoral, Al. You're going to be pastoral. We need to talk to you, Al. You seem, you know, boy, Luann just loved me. She grew quicker than I did because of me. She had to press in deeper than me to get the wisdom from him. But how do I deal with this guy? But it was like, oh, my Lord. So it's like, geez. So it's just like, he said, honey, do you understand? I mean, they're looking for that pastoral in you because you're a pastor now. You pastored a church. You're a pastor of church, senior pastor. But where's the pastoral? We sat there and thought about it and said, but you can't be something you're not. See, I lean on my wife a whole bunch for wisdom and understanding. When I need counsel, I go to my wife, first step, and then to men and ask. I wage war according to counsel. There's safety in that. But my wife carries the gift of discernment and understanding. That I just seem to, you know, I'm out building, out here, out that way. And she has a way of sticking her foot out and tripping me and said, now, Alan, you need to listen to this. They're saying you got a hard heart. I what do you mean a hard heart? Come on. He said, yeah, you're saying you don't want to talk to them. You won't take the time to come off the wall and sit down and talk to people. But being a builder, guess what my style is? I was very open to say, I'd love to talk to you, Denny. Walk with me. Why? Builder, I'm going A to Z. I'm still doing the kingdom work in my gifting and grace. See? But then the church comes along, religion says, you can't be that way. You're a pastor now. You've got to do it this way. You think I was happy? All of us go through this. Like, what's this changing? God, what's the deal here? You've got to be who you are. You can't be something you ain't. So I did the best I could with it. Well, let's walk and talk. You know, but the person back there in religion says, well, I ain't going to walk with that guy. I want him to stop and get off the wall and quit building that skyscraper and right there. Talk to me. I'm going, well, that's okay. I'll talk to you when I get back. But I'm on a mission. Intention. It's not invitation. You have an intention in life. You've got a purpose. You've got a function the way God called you to function to get the fullness of life in your heart. You've got to know that. The eyes of the understanding must open up to the fullest plan of God, history, His story for you. It's the only way you can live life to the fullest. So a conditioned heart, sometimes a heart's conditioned. It's stony. It's in the wrong highway. It's not quite on the right side of the road. It's on a rock. My roots aren't really going down in one. Not going down in a process. How to build. Was it going down in a person? Jesus. Stony heart. Withered away, lacked moisture, but others fell on the ground, sprang up, yielded a crop hundredfold. Now, the next part of the verse talks about the parable. Where just like us disciples, God, what's the parable about? What does it mean? He answered it. And when a great multitude had come, I think it's the next, he sowed the seed, talking about wayside heart, receive the word, devil comes, takes it away. Unless they believe and be saved, stony heart, receive the word with joy, but no root. Time and temptation fall away, thorny heart, receive the word, but the cares of the world choke growth. Then it says this, a noble and good heart, receive the word, cap it, and bear fruit with patience. So a heart condition. What's your heart condition today? What do you think? Your heart, what's the condition today? Are you ready to receive the incorruptible word of God fully? The soil is prepared. Okay, God, you prepared it. Your seed's coming. There's going to be a harvest. It's going to be 7-foot corn by July in Indiana. Are you going to have problems? Well, we didn't have a crop this year. Now, farmers, I understand. Weather's a tough one. Because it's a variable. But you ain't weather, and I'm not weather. Now, I can bring a storm. Yeah, I can. I can create chaos sometimes. But that's me. But guess what I'm in charge of? This heart, this temple okay, God. Apparently my heart's stony. I'm not on the highway. You called. My roots have not gone in you. What? In one person, Jesus. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. So, a noble and good heart is the only heart that receives the fullness of God's purpose in the gifting of God. So, the last verse I want to give you, and I know you're probably saying, well, I'm glad he's got the last verse coming up. Proverbs chapter 4. We've been talking about the Word of God. We're talking about a heart condition. Talking about the condition of a heart today. Proverbs 4:22 is the verse that stands out the most. And I couldn't post the other parts of Proverbs 4 because it's very lengthy in many ways. But it talks about the heart in the whole process. It's where David's talking to his son, raising him up and saying, as the heart of a father saying, you got to do it this way, son. If you want to enjoy life to the fullest, this is what you do. You receive it richly into your heart. Make sure your heart's right. The condition of a heart. It's all that God looks for. I thank God he's in charge of my heart. He makes it pliable. Makes it clay. He can reform it, change it. Go to where? Clay, Indiana. Go to where? Indiana. Can't you see the corn? I mean, can't you see the state? I'm serious. Am I clay? Was my heart conditioned? Was the soil prepared for me to be here at such a time as this? I stand before you because I know it is. The authority of the kingdom of God reigns over this region of north central Indiana. You may not know it in your knower yet, but once you understand what you've been given, whose you are, what you carry, what authority and dominion you've been given, you can set the course for his kingdom, his church, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this region. Okay. Now, we were in second gear, third gear. I skipped a few. I'm in high gear right about now. Because I'm here by intention. I'm not here by invitation. The authority of God has been given to each one of us to carry the kingdom of God. Not a church, not a denomination, not man's tradition. Not denying the power thereof of God. God did not shortchange you this morning. He didn't give you something that couldn't fight the devil's worst work against you. God's Spirit was given to you by the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that you understand who you are, whose you are. And when you take a step of faith and start declaring this word, who my God is there not a cause? When the righteous take their stand, the enemy flees when no one pursues them. What this Bible says. So what are you doing thinking you got to fight the devil all day long? Come on. You have the mighty God inside of your life. You have the authority, the dominion of power of God to change things and speak the word of God over children's lives, sons, daughters, families, and call those things, yeah, I know they're not, but guess, you can call them as they are. Yes, my God, my daughter will be saved and loving Jesus and serving Christ all the day of her life. Their sons, their daughters, generation to generation, will serve God because this word says it's my given part, my inheritance. My family will love Jesus. Come on. I'm not mad. I'm not yelling at you. But you got to know you can stand up against the devil. He's the defeated foe. He has nothing against you. He tries. It's like a roaring lion, but he has no teeth. Gums you to death. Talks to you. Tries to convince here. So, what am I doing? Here it is. Okay, God. I'm going to use your word against him. Come on. We fight warfare, this spiritual war we're in rest with assurance, knowing whose we are, who we are, and rest in that in faith, with the Word of God. Whew, you talk about victory. Victory in this place, in this region. God is supreme over this region. He wants to transform it. And what's it going to take? Every part. every saint knowing, come on, who you are, whose you are, and what you carry. What you carry. You have the authority. And I thank God you can set things in order. You can. You can speak to mountains and watch them remove. I'm not saying get hoarse and screaming and blowing the windshield of the car. I used to do that. I thought that was the way you did it. Because why? I'm a builder. That's my personality. Really? So it's like my dad. Don't do that, son. Okay. Boom! I'm right there, man. I'm like a Peter for God. Where do you want the door? No problem. Boom! Boom. No, Peter, I didn't want the door there. Just, come on. We grow through things. But you got to know what you carry. This word tells you you're seated with Christ in high places. Heaven comes to earth through you, not just around you and for you. Maybe God will work for you. Maybe this time, maybe that time. That's tossed to and fro Christianity versus knowing. Now, wait a minute here. I'm maturing in my God, and I'm not going to stand firm. Nothing's going to change me. My anchor holds. Let the sail be rent. I don't care what you're telling me it looks like. I'm going to stand firm, believe this tells me. I carry the presence of a living God. There's the difference of being a saint in the New Testament and living in the law of the old. Well, maybe so. Maybe God will work. Maybe not. We haven't prayed enough, Pastor Rick. Man, you need to have more prayer times. I know you do. And I give him my to-do list. Man, been there and done that. Alan, oh, your marriage would be so much happier if you did this. This thing would be so much, work out so much better. Your business, if you do these steps. I get about 3 steps in. I couldn't do any more. It's like, are you kidding me? What's the deal here? My zeal, my energy, trying to make it work. God says, none of my plan. Who are you?
Right.
Whose are you? Oh, man. Then I hear the word of God saying, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So who's building this morning? It's not the process. It's not a plan and pursuit. It's about a person. His name is Jesus. It's so important because we get caught up. Let me read this one scripture to you, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by Son, it's about a person, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things. Jeez. By the what? By the word of his power with the life upon it. If you let the spirit of wisdom and understanding come into your heart. When he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high. Purged our sins? Isn't that the cross? He took care of business. It is finished, saints. It is finished. How do you confront the devil? How do you confront those things in your life? How do you confront the demons that come out sometimes? There's only one way. I carry the presence of God. And I can pray this word and believe this is what's going on. That you can rail at me all day long, devil, you want to. But I know in my knower. Those sins were nailed to the purging, the cross. And he made an open shame of you, devil. He walked you before the troops that he'd won over you. What am I doing? Changing the way you pray. Changing the way you live. Walking in faith and confidence and not doubt and unbelief, tossed to and fro. So what am I saying? God's raising up an army, his people, in this hour, in this reformation. It's not an audience anymore. And I am not satisfied with just an audience. So when God sends me somewhere, it's to ignite the army of God. Because every one of you have a part to play. Wherever God has put you, the kingdom has come near someone Monday morning. Say, what? I thought church meant we just gather in a building and that's the church once a week. Oh, no, no. You are the church. Each one of you, every part. And you think God knows that? You bet he does. That was his plan. How is the world going to be knowing Jesus? Because in this room, there's what, 100 people or more? I'm not sure how many. Guess what he knows? I have my kingdom with those who know me. Not what men tell them, but what they know about me. They're in station right now, Monday morning. Talk about a kingdom. What a perspective. I thought I'd do this thing alone. Oh, no, you don't. He's building it. He has you stationed Monday morning. So guess where ministry comes? Amen. I love it. When I was gone, it was so simple to me. On a plane, I fought God with it. I said, God, I can't say that to them. I mean, surely they'll think I'm stupid or dumb. But think about this. The message was, where is your pulpit? Majority of them said, well, we go to church at New Life Church. I'm just kidding. Or somewhere else. Or Catholic. They had a church they went to. Come on. But the message was, where is your pulpit? Well, that's the pulpit up here. That's Pastor Rick. You know, I come here to hear him. Now, come on. The church is making a shift from the gimme, gimme, me, 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 me-ism, help me, versus God said, I'm sending you. I prepared you. You have a purpose and a plan. I'm on intention with you. I have a history for you, his story for you. But carry my glory and understand it. Know who you are and whose you are. Come on. So where's your pulpit? Sunday morning, yes, Pastor Rick, here in this place. Cross town, it's somebody else in that pulpit. It's still the church. Not churches, it's the church. Each part playing their part. What God's building together, edifying in the thing of love. To the maturity of Christ. It's the body of Christ everywhere. So Monday morning, where's your pulpit? Well, I'm not in full-time ministry. You don't understand, Ellen. Oh, if you're alive and well and breathing, you're above ground today, and you love Jesus, you have a pulpit. And Monday morning in that cubicle, wherever you go to work, in the sewer, it doesn't matter what you are, plumber, electrician. Guess who's there? Oh, yeah, you're there. But God's saying, hey, wisdom, understanding. You realize I'm working through you? Let me work through you, plumber. Let me work through you, electrician. Let me work through you, farmer. That's kingdom. And you stand back and say, God, humbly, broken, I say, you'd use this broken vessel, this earthly vessel you want to use. That was his plan. So everyone here today, God has a purpose and plan, yes, but the process is not us about. It's the person, Jesus. But he died and purged the sins from our life that we can walk in a clarity, a clear conscience to know, I don't deal with shame, intimidation, guilt, all those things that we deal with every day. Why do I do that? Because I don't remind myself whose I am and who I am. I need brothers and sisters. That's why this brother is special to me. That's why I've seen Gary, 30 years? It's been a while, long time. His message has never changed. But I can count on the stability and the same message has never changed. He will crank my tractor, as I'd say, because he has words of life. He's gone through the resurrection process. He's gone through the death, the burial, resurrection. So where we click is because, man, that's the life I needed. Because, yeah, I'm kind of, the light's not green anymore. It's kind of yellow caution. I'm not sure what to do here. Really not. So I'm asking you, God, my wife. Then I talk to Gary. Whatever, and all of a sudden, I'm hearing words of life. I'm going, yeah, that's right. What's he doing? He's not giving something to overload me with information. He's turning me around, pushing me into the ministry full time. You go back to work on Monday morning, and you believe who you are and what you carry, and what you can do for God. Oh, no, that's Alan. Let him do it. Let Pastor Rick. They're in charge. Let them do it. Come on now. Each one here today, if you see God's perspective today, the reason I get so broken at times, to see who is here. How many people are here today, all over the country, all over the city. Friends I knew for many, many years ago. God hasn't changed his story about you. He's put you here for a purpose and a plan. He knows exactly what your next step is going to be. Only one way. It's about a person, not about a process. Do you know Jesus today? Do you have him in your life with that security? If you stood before God today, you knew why you would go into heaven. You knew by your knower that he would say, well done, son, because you know his son, Jesus. Or is it by works? Well, I did this. This is my list. This is my scroll. I'm really qualified, aren't I, God? Man, my life story is, Alan, I don't call the qualified. I qualify the call. Yes. Took me a while to learn that one. Well, here's my scroll, God. Come on. It's all about Jesus. Do you have the confidence today that you stood before God? He would say, well done. But you knew his son, Jesus. That's the call of God. That's where really life begins. And that's where he doesn't shortchange anyone. He gives you all of heaven. Now go live life and live it abundantly. And don't worry about the devil. I took care of him. I purged him on the cross. Don't worry about him. Come on now. We all need brothers and sisters to help remind us, keep us focused. To keep what? Advancing the kingdom of God. Multiplying it. Not decreasing it. Come on now. So, what has the Spirit of God been teaching you? What are you hearing today in your life, personally? Maybe it's not spending time enough with Jesus and Jesus alone. Maybe it's not reading his word enough. Maybe it's not understanding the wisdom and understanding by the Spirit of God that comes to your life. All those things you will go through. But God is here to help you take care of all of that, to understand the power and authority you carry is so mighty because it's a mighty God. It's his very presence. North Central Indiana. I'm in Colorado. But when you walk to a place and catch the wind of God in your life, to know what spiritual authority you carry to guide, guard, govern in a kingdom, it doesn't matter where you are. I can pray better for North Central Indiana than I can in Pueblo, Colorado sometimes, only because I have a revelation. Okay, God, you're asking me to do this. So I'm stepping into your purpose, your intention. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray your word over North Central Indiana now. Well, it takes a minute to. Come on now. It's called spiritual authority. Saints, you cover it. You carry it. It's not natural. It's not. It's spiritual. It's a dimension that God wants us to walk in. It's more real than touch, the senses. It's a spiritual realm that we walk in. We are body, soul, and spirit. We carry the spirit of a living God. I can't handle that one sometimes. I don't know about you, Gary. I can't handle that sometimes. I mean, like, God, what'd you do that for? What'd you choose us? From the beginning, God said, I want a family. I'm going to put you in it if you accept my son, the sacrifice he gave, and watch life just rise up so big in you. Boy, it's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church, as they say sometimes. Well, listen to your heart right now. God has been moving. The Holy Spirit is here. It's a real deal. It's nothing. It's not a hype. It's not glory. It's not a show at all. It's one person. His name is Jesus. He can manifest through you. He really can. He wants to use you in a mighty way. If you've had doubts and unbelief in your heart about God would ever want to use you or try to, well, God wouldn't use me. He can use my husband, my wife, and someone else, but he would never choose to use me. I'm here to tell you today, oh yeah, he chose you. He knows you by name. You carry his DNA if you love Jesus. If you love Jesus and know him, you carry the DNA today. You carry all heaven today, saints. You can change the atmosphere, the circumstance here, by just being who you are when you show up where God has you. You can do that. Now, I know what you're all thinking. Oh, man, this is probably the altar call and the time for prayer and all that. This is how church goes down, isn't it? Come on. I understand that. But right now, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to pray. And you're going to sit there. Okay? You're going to listen to God. I'm going to release the spirit of wisdom and understanding into your lives, your heart, because that's what I was told to do. And I'll do it. And that's where we're going to start. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your saints, your people, and your church right now, each one here today. Thank you for the story you've given them. You've written it. It's in your book of life for them. So, Father, right now, by the authority of your heaven coming to this earth, Father, I just release over their lives right now that spirit of wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord, that your love never fails. That, Father, understanding comes to their life of the height, the depth, the length, the width of God's love for them right now. That, Father, you chose each one of person here before the beginning of their life in their mother's womb. You knew them, what they were going to do, the history for their lives, A to Z, Alpha, Omega, Father, Jehovah Shammah, the present God. So, Father, right now, by the power of heaven, by the authority of your word, with your life upon it, Father, I release that spirit right now over the people in this area, in this place. That, Father, you'd be the light upon a path, a highway right now. Thank you, Lord. They see you writing their life story with you, sitting with you, being loved, accepted, and forgiven, seated with you, Lord Jesus, as you walk and talk with them and tell them their story. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Eyes of understanding, hearts be opened right now to receive by revelation God's purpose, plan. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Now. Yes, God. Father, I release in place right now in each of these saints' lives, these individuals here, Lord, that the Word of God become first place in their lives. That righteousness, right standing with you, is assured in their hearts, but the Word of God be read and they do it, that it be the guideline, it be the righteousness of a kingdom. Blessed be this region, Father God, in your hand, with those who love you and serve you and do it your way. So, Father, right now I release over this area your righteousness, your kingdom, your word to be preeminent, that, Father, you bring culture to look like you. Wow, God. You would do that, Jesus? Yes, you will, Jesus. You'll do that. So right now, just take a moment and just say, Jesus, I'll do it your way. Jesus, I'll do it your way, not my way. I want to finish the service out my way. It doesn't matter what you do. Jesus, you have your way through my life right now. Oh, God. So what does God put in your hand to do? Maybe digging a ditch, driving a truck. City government, education. Many fields that God has planted with his people. Let it be your prayer today. I'll do it your way, God. And just ask Jesus now, bring around my life your counsel, Lord, that I need to stand firm and doing your word, your will. Thank you, Jesus, for setting in order our lives individually. I'll do it your way, God. And I know you'll gather people around me to help me on my way, to stay true to the highway, not in the ditch, not on a stony ground, not on a rock, no roots going down. But Father, my heart, my condition of my life, my heart is open, open that your will be done right now in my life. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I see God doing that. Tablets of hearts, living epistles, my life as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment in the quietness of God. It's okay. Yes, Lord. Now, I'm not good at a clock because I don't even know what time it is. So it could have been long for some people. But this is the way we're going to end up this time together. There are things in your life you've been praying for, looking for. Could be health, could be healing, could be deliverance, could be financial, could be relational. The things that you pray for. With the spirit of wisdom and understanding from heaven above, you carry the authority and power to release that over those situations. Now, if you believe that and you carry that power and authority, your assurance and you're resting in that, wherever you put me, God, I carry the mantle of authority in your dominion. And you're carrying something that you've been weighing on you, you've been praying it through, asking others, what do I do? And you're pausing and waiting and saying, what do I do? If you believe today you've carried the authority and power of God, that his very presence is in your life, that is your intention, that was from the get-go as a family, you're his son and daughter. I want someone to begin and release that revelation or authority over that situation. So what are you asking? The things you've been targeting and praying for, I have my list, my prayer list. But to reaffirm what the Spirit of God's been doing in this last hour, you must know what you carry, but there's action to it. You hear it, and you do it. So, I'm just going to say it this way. I'm pulling teeth possibly sometimes, but we want to agree with you in prayer, that situation, what you're carrying, because there's power in agreement in this room among the saints. And that's where counsel comes, that's where the push comes in, that's where the advancing of the kingdom of God come. I'm serious. Whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it doesn't matter. Could be in my family, could be my wife, my kids, my relationship, whatever it is. But we got to finish this and impact this region, this area, not just this church, these four walls and us four no more, but in the atmosphere of this kingdom out here, which is real. It's the real deal. You carry the authority and power. Now you can sit and you can declare it and we'll agree with you. You can stand up. I don't care what you do. But I need to hear it. So I can put my part in your part. Where one could put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000, and then it's just astronomical how it starts. You see that? It's what God wants in his family. You're not alone in what you do. So who's praying for what?